time for a fabulous segment. I can't believe it's not news with Nick Healy from Sunday Breakfast. Check him out at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
So this segment, we pour through the 24-hour news cycle, pick out three news items that are garbage and focus on one important story that gets lost in the wash. What's been making non-news this week, Nick?
Look, Woolies and the Island of the Lost. Yeah, look, it's only been about 9 months since Woolies managed to actually enrage Australia with its fresh in our memories, totally not cynical marketing co-opting of the already problematic Anzac Day. Perfect outrage gestation period. Woolies has given birth to a brand new controversy, cleverly disguised as a cheap hat. Well, in what was definitely a deliberate slap in the face of our most southern state and in no way an error at the Chinese manufacturing plant, Woolies have been attempting to sell Australia Day hats that featured a map of Australia without Tasmania.
Sans Tasmania.
I'll give everyone a moment to reel from the implications. Media, of course, could smell blood in the water, and the next thing you know, the hats are being recalled. Yes, recalled. Woolies is formally apologising. Now, ignoring the fact that forgetting Tasmania is about as much an Australian tradition as voting no in referendums and getting angry at people who want to have serious discussions about rote nationalism and the need to change the role of Australia Day when it comes to inclusion and recognition of history, ignoring all that, the absolute worst thing about this was it allowed Jackie Lambie to start saying things in public again.
Oh, no. What did she have to say about
Tassie,
that?
What did the Tassie senator have to say about this?
I forget, yeah.
Yes, that was fun. So, look, cheap marketing, cynical tat, not news.
Definitely not news. All right, what's the next non-news item this morning, sir?
In-N-Out Burger. Mm. More like in and sold out.
Oh, dear.
He says, echoing nearly every headline yesterday. Sydney's burger obsession actually made top news around the media sites. As a pop-up burger joint put noses out of joint again. These just keep coming. When it sold out before it even opened. Now, just to kick off, In-N-Out is a really, if you've never heard of it, it's a simple and cheap burger chain in the US, mainly on the West Coast. It's tasty. I've eaten there, but it's literally just cheeseburgers. Did you try it when you were overseas?
I was in America late last year, and I tried it. And you know what? It was enjoyable, but there was nothing special.
Its big thing is how cheap it is.
Yeah.
Look, people were queuing from 6 a.m. for the pop-up. Burgers were being signed on a one-per-person basis, which meant they'd sold out before opening.
How does that happen? I don't understand how the process.
Because people got really excited.
Sydney's pre-ordered.
So they literally walked down handing out a wristband saying, you get one burger. The coverage flowed thick and fast with people in line being interviewed. The usual social media troll disguised as an article. I love it when an image says, courtesy Instagram. Mm. And even a think piece, an actual hot take on the other places that you could be getting a burger from, which in Sydney right now could have been the words literally anywhere.
You can't take five steps without bumping into some burger place in Sydney at the moment. It's insane.
Look, if you're Time Out or a food blog, I will happily allow that what occurred yesterday is basically your version of the Kennedy assassination. But for everyone else, it's not news.
Yeah, look, are you telling me there's nothing more important that happened yesterday that deserved the coverage that this burger chain got?
Look, a fun throwaway story maybe, but this was top story coverage on multiple serious news sites.
It is a sorry state of affairs. All right, and one final non-news item getting plenty of coverage like our friends of the Burger World.
Look, this is a tricky one because this is news, but it's being reported as if it wasn't. After the mandatory data retention laws mm-hmm. went into effect last year, we found ourselves living in a country where the government wanted our metadata, but along with the rest of Australia, was utterly unable to explain what metadata was. The news this week was that a total of 61 agencies have applied for unwarranted access to metadata, meaning they can just grab it whenever they want, without needing to petition a court for it.
Okay.
Now, we initially only had 20 because what they were trying to avoid was something that's called scope creep.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Now, sadly, the news coverage focused on how weird some of these agencies were, such as Greyhound Racing Victoria wants unfettered access to your metadata. The Department of Fisheries wants unfettered access to your metadata. And my favourite, the National Measurement Institute, which got a lot of attention because the last thing they did was fine Woolies, hello again, boys, $3,000 for selling underweight lamb chops. They want unfettered access to your metadata. It's absurd and it's hilarious, and I get it.
Mm.
But focusing on this meant that we glossed over the idea that four agencies who applied couldn't be named under the Freedom of Information Act.
Oh.
Because they had, and I'll quote, because this makes no sense, clearly indicated that disclosure of this information would damage the relationship between the department and the relevant agencies.
It's kind of the point, though, isn't it?
We also skipped the part where the tax office and Department of Health want metadata, which is a big deal. Come on. This is seriously big news, and we're having a laugh over greyhound racing Victoria.
And measuring of chops.
Not how you report this story.
No, they fluffed it. All right, there's three stories getting plenty of coverage, which shouldn't really. What's one important story getting lost in the wash?
Yeah, well, look, taxpayers are about to get stung by Clive Palmer's refinery fail. He's normally the laughing stock of Australian politics, but it's kind of hard to get a giggle at the moment from Clive's latest antics. Following on from his Queensland nickel refinery going to voluntary administration, taxpayers are going to end up footing a few bills, potentially $300 million worth of sacked workers' entitlements, and actually the cost to clean up the site from environmental ruin.
So Clive's fluffed a nickel of a factory.
Absolutely
farm.
Lost it. Completely okay. Banned. Yabulu is the one. It's at a Queensland site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cost of remediating it could hit $40 million. Queensland opposition said the bill could be $300 million by the time you've actually tidied up the site. So it's not a disaster area.
Thanks much, Clive.
Thanks, mate.
You've been quiet, but now we know why.
Now we know why.
There you go. You can catch Nick Healy at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Special as always. We'll catch you next time.